Hello and welcome to part one of the Tidbits Pod Mongolian Nadam Festival adventure. I hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. Alright chums, how you doing? Hope you're all keeping well. I'm mixing it up this time. And you know I normally report back after the trip, so I give you the rundown or whatever. But this time, I'm reporting live. Live and in glorious soundscape Technicolor. I, right now, am in Mongolia. Reporting to you from my room at the hotel, and I think I'm gonna make this really, really detailed. Like, I'm gonna do everything with it as much minute detail as I can. I've got my camera roll here, so hopefully this is just gonna jog memories and stuff as we go. And then when I'm back to reality in a few days, then I'm going to try and put in some sounds and whatever else, make these ones a little bit proper, like a little mini series or something. But I don't know how to prove I'm actually here. Probably hear that echo. Huzzah! hold on. Yeah, hold on. Let's get a bit of outdoor, some hustle and bustle. I'm too high up, though, to really get anything satisfying. There's a bit of traffic. Mongolia is the only place in the world that has traffic. Imagine if there was some fucking a little gang of throat singers down there doing their thing, or if a falcon just flew by the window and declared its Mongolian heritage. But that and this is Mongolia. Maybe I'm going to sit by the window because it is quite peaceful. Live production on Tidbits Pod. But and this is actually a brief little moment where it's not been raining, which is a nice little change. And I know it's boring to talk about the weather, but holy shit, it has been a rainy one so far. And what are you doing in Mongolia, I hear you ask? I'm here for the Nadam Festival, which, one second, I've prepared a little thing, is the Nadam Festival is Mongolia's biggest national celebration. It takes place every year, primarily from July the 11th to the 13th. And it celebrates the country's history, culture, and independence. It's often called the Three Manly Games because it centers on three traditional sports: wrestling, horse racing, and archery. Nadam has deep historical roots dating back centuries. Originally, the games were used to train warriors during the era of Chinggis Khan. This is wrong, it says Genghis. We live, we learn. And later became part of religious and community gatherings. And today it symbolizes national pride, cultural identity, and the enduring traditions of Mongolia's nomadic way of life. So that's the online assistance summary of it. That is pretty much the gist, not that I know any better, but we'll go with that. So it's just watching Mongolian people do cool shit, and there's like massive big birds, and are there birds in town? There certainly are. Got some boy racers out there, but it's fucking cool. Just a very like, well, there's nothing else like it, sort of thing. So I watched some clips and I thought I'm going to go to that one day, and this is that day. And yeah, those games, that's why I'm here. But to make this make some kind of sense, let's go linear and let's jump back all the way back to the flight and shit, the prep, and then we'll build back to now. And at the moment, it's the end of the first full day, Saturday, July 11th. But yeah, let's take a trip back, way back, back to July the 9th, if you can believe. We were so young. And it's, let's say, 10 p.m., July 9th, and I've just got back in from work, and my bus up to the airport isn't until 2:30. So I've got a little bit of time, and I was feeling a bit shit. You can probably hear it in my voice. I'm a bit sort of blocked up. My nose is all fucked. But yeah, you know those colds you get where you can still function? It feels bad, but you're not gonna, you know, you're not bedbound or anything. So yeah, and I'd done a big teaching day, which, you know, you're dealing with that as well. So to get some energy, I decided to have a little bit of a snooze. And for once, actually, I judged it just right. So yeah, got in at 10, I was probably asleep by 10:30, and then yeah, got up a bit later. Because yeah, I didn't have to leave mine until like two in the morning or something. But yeah, so I got up, packed my bags, and then headed out of the door. Oh yeah, and crucially, in all of the little decisions, you know, when you're packing, like what to do and whatever, I made a couple of good ones. And the main thing I decided to do was put together a little day bag with lots of little stuff in. I don't know why I'm saying little so much, but yeah, inside I had my big bag, and then smaller bags, and then I had like a little, you know, the ones that are like sort of drug dealer pouch bags, whatever they are. But yeah, and I decided to put in a little foldable, squishable, you know, the stuff itself into its own pocket kind of waterproof jacket, the ones that pack down to look like little sleeping bags. That was great. And yeah, I've got such a good system now for packing. And I know what you're thinking. Yeah, you open the bag, put the stuff in the bag, close the bag. And yeah, but I do mine in a way that, you know, once it's in, I know where everything is, and I can sort of circulate the clean and the dirty stuff as the trip goes on. So it's all, you know, I know where everything is, and I've just done it a lot now. So it's down to a fine art. And one, two, skip a few, I'm on the bus. And I live about 10 minutes walk away from the big bus/train station. So yeah, that journey was fucking smooth. And it feels nice to be back, you know, back being the travel wanker again. Like, big backpack on the back and small backpack on the front, you know, looking like a confused one-man band toddling through the town, sort of jangling like a one-man band as well. But yeah, it always makes me feel like I'm in one of those, you know, the sort of inflatable Zorb football suit things. It's probably harder to imagine than actually just wearing two bags, but yeah. Yeah, the only person that saw me on the way, actually, was one of the sketchy Midnight Pork lads, which maybe I've told you about, maybe not. But there's a market near me, and if you walk by it late at night, this is in Taichung, back in Taichung, there's always at least one, yeah, most of the time one, but if not two, sketchy fucking lads. And they're always there as this sketchy room that's, it's wide open to the elements, you know, the wind and shit, traffic fumes, the heat, the dust. They're in there and they're just chopping up massive pig carcasses into smaller bits of pig to sell or whatever. And I'm pretty sure there's no fridge in there. I'm only judging from the outside, but they're just there, chip, chip, chopping, and it fucking stinks. And yeah, maybe there's rats in there or whatever. But yeah, every time I go by and I have a little nose in, and they'll be, yeah, maybe they're chopping up stuff, or they've got a big blowtorch that they use to get all the hair off of these pigs. But it's so rank. And yeah, it's just got like one single light bulb. I don't know, it's grim. But for the story, I don't know why I'm telling you this, but for the first time ever, one of them actually turned and made, it wasn't like, you know, a friendly hello. He gave me a little like nod as if to say, oh good, you're leaving. But no, yeah, I've sort of seen these guys at work a lot, so it was nice to get some kind of communication when I was going there, and it was when I was with my big bags on, so maybe that's a thing. But yeah, anyway, I'm on the bus, and for some reason, and this has never ever been the case before, but the driver started, he was declaring the names of all the towns that we were driving through. And I mean, that bus is pretty much a direct route. It starts in the, like at the bus station or the train station sort of thing in Taichung. And then it goes to the other side of Taichung. And then from there, it's just Taoyuan Airport. And I was hoping to get a little bit of sleep, you know, like a, just get a day full of little naps and stuff just to, you know, stay cognitive or whatever. And yeah, I was hoping to get that, but every town he was just piping up blah 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 on his little walkie talkie intercom thing, giving a little nugget of each town or whatever. And if it was daytime, and if you're going away from the airport, that's nice, isn't it? You know, for the visitors. But this was between, I got on the bus at 2:30 and I was on it till about 5:00. So who's sightseeing at that point? Like in the night, pitch black with, yeah, and you're on the motorway anyway, so you can't see the towns. But yeah, it was smooth but annoying. And then I got to the airport, and just as well, actually, because the queue for the bag check-in was the longest I've ever seen it there. I was around in the Eva Air bit, but yeah, and maybe it was because Typhoon Bavi was due to hit that afternoon, and people were getting checked in early or whatever. I don't know what they were thinking, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, it was loads of lovely, happy Taiwanese families and stuff, and all chirpy and chippy and excited about all their holidays and wherever they're going. Too many people to queue inside as well. So they had, you know, the kind of theme park. There's that normal rope queue section thing. So what they'd done, and there was a new system that had developed of the queue where they'd filled the normal zigzag, and then they'd perfectly kept that going, zigzagging the line, so it just used the space perfectly in the best way. It was like someone was about to complete snake on their fucking 5110. But the queue as well, without being sculpted, without anyone putting it together, It had little perfect sections where if you're not in the line, you could just walk through easily. People get to vending machines and toilets and stuff, and it was just all understood and whatever, and people were not fucking around. But yeah, little kind of unsignposted, obvious channels. We're talking one of the all-time queues, but I guess what I'm trying to say is it was the most British thing I'd ever seen. Yeah, built that up too much. But queued in that for about an hour. And then when I got to the desk, because all the others, they were groups and families and shit, the guy, he gave me the emergency exit job. You know, I've defaulted the jackpot. Well, the way he phrased it, he said, you know, would you be okay to sit in the emergency exit row? Do the normal people not like that row? Is that a thing? I always want it, but I guess people don't like it because you can't recline. But as you know, I'm of the firm opinion that if you've ever reclined, actually take that back. No, if you've ever reclined and there's someone behind you in the seat behind you, then you're a fucking prick every time, regardless of whether they've said it's fine or whatever. But I don't know. I've paid my money. I deserve to enjoy that extra 10 to 15 degrees of shallower incline. Whatever. But my point is, it's always that extra bit of comfort that you get, it's never going to outweigh the inconvenience and shitness that you're giving the person behind you. And then, of course, it forces the person that you've laid down on into a position where now they've either got to, like, they're going to have a shitter flight, or they have to do, they then do that pathetic look behind thing, and they've got to look at the person behind them and go like, well, the person in front of me is reclined, so now I have to recline. Like, they've shit on me, so can I shit on you? Oh, sorry. And it just makes a whole chain of that sorry guy. And I'm thinking, just fucking sit in a chair. I don't know, it's not so hard. And yeah, I want to get those things. Have you seen them on the internet where you can kind of, you can wedge the bits of plastic and you wedge them into the food tray, and then it stops the person's seat going back. Yeah, anyway, Christmas is coming. You can get those for me. And anyway, I had the emergency row, so none of this was my concern. And let's get into it more. The first flight was smooth as fuck. And the only thing to note was, oh, fucking hell, yeah, the woman next to me, she ate her dinner like she was a fucking psychopath, sociopath, like all the paths. And yeah, we're talking, it's about 8 a.m., but, you know, when you're on a plane, all the meals are called dinner, aren't they? But, yeah, we're on Eva Airlines, and first of all, it's flying up to Seoul, and 8 in the morning, so obviously, for the food, you're on a Korean route from a Taiwanese airport, and of course, it was a chicken pie. Hello there. And yeah, like that, you seen that bit in Extras, Barry of EastEnders, where he's got his muffin and he's like, oh, hello you. That was me with the pie. And nice pie, nice bit of veg. And the woman next to me, she had the same. And, you know, she's not made of stone. And yeah, again, she's traveling between two culture hubs of the world's fashionable East of Asia, right? These are some of the most interesting places you can go and whatever. But yeah, why not? I'd do what she did on your next flight. And yeah, she picked up her broccoli between the thumb and index finger. She kind of pinched it. And then she just started to bite away all of the darker green little florets or whatever from her broccoli and then leave the lighter green stalk. But it's still, I don't know, she was just taking the very end little dark bits off of the broccoli, just, yeah. And then when she drank as well, and club soda, by the way, what the fuck is that? Club soda? Yeah, you're not from the fucking movies. Yeah, and when she drank, she'd sort of shield her mouth and sort of cup her hand to cover. Right, yeah, so picture it. She's drinking normally. One hand's got the cup and she's tipping the cup. Great, happy days. But the other hand, it's hovering in front of the cup to make a barrier. And with that other hand, it's not supporting the cup or anything. There's no extra, you know, anti-turbulence technique or whatever, turbulence paranoia. But yeah, that second hand is purely up for screening purposes. And yeah, I just thought it was a bit fucking weird. So I imagine if the plane was crashing or whatever, and then she'd put on the oxygen mask, but she'd do it with one of her other hands hovering in front to block what she was doing so people couldn't see her. But anyway, yeah, first flight, smooth as fuck. And then I was in that nice situation. You ever done this where you need to transfer through for your next flight, but you're too early to get your boarding pass for the next flight, and there's not enough time to, you know, check into the country and whatever, go and explore. So what you do, you go through the little transfer bit, and then you're just at the gate without all the proper stuff. You don't have your boarding pass or anything. So you can pretend to be in the terminal for a bit. And by that, I mean the terminal starring Tom Hanks, because it's not really a stretch to pretend you're in a terminal if you're in a terminal. But yeah, I got a little sandwich and shit. Beautiful. And yeah, we are getting into the minutiae of this fucking journey. It was salmon and stuff. Fucking nice. Filling was great. Oh my God, I'm too ill. But yeah, I am going to give you all the details. I'm going to commit to it. And yeah, if you don't have to mess about with all the trains in Seoul Airport, then it's fucking nice. Don't get caught there on transfers. There, the terminal train or whatever is fucking well annoying. But yeah, so I enjoyed it there for a bit. Second flight, Myat, M-I-A-T, the Mongolian Airlines or whatever. I checked in at the gate, and guess what? The person there have gone, oh, have you ever experienced the emergency exit row before? And then of course I've piped in with my life story. I was like, well, actually, yeah, I have, because the flight I've just got off I was in the emergency. And then yeah, just say yes, you fucking prick. And yeah, so anyway, I was then in the emergency sort of exit door bit again. Second flight, second dinner, I had a pasta chicken thing, and it was nice, but the pasta, it added an element of chaos that you don't really want on a plane. You know, I've got no, if you don't have full elbow range, then I don't know. Yeah, if you don't have the full range, then, well, yeah, what I'm saying is, airlines, please don't make me have to negotiate long strands of saucy pasta without full use of my elbows is what I'm getting at. But yeah, after that, ice cream on a stick, which again was nice, but you're doing a lot of drip management and yeah, I don't know, it's just too much of a fuckery. Not for planes. And oh yeah, in that meal actually, I showed the guy, not that I like tapped him on the shoulder and said, look at me, but I saw him clocking the technique and he copied it. He was fucking loving it, right? So top tip, you know, there's always that on your little tray on the plain food thing, there's always that frozen, like, or at least really cold butter sachet thing. And then you've got your roll and whatever else. But what you've got to do straight away before you've even defoiled your hot dinner, defoiled it. yeah, what you've got to do, you take your cold butter and then you're going to put it next to, or ideally, if it's a shallow enough dish that's not going to cause rockage or whatever, you put it under your hot dinner. And then by the time you've finished that bit, you've got spreadable, nice butter waiting. And yeah, and if you've donned it like me, you can then just butter your roll nicely, and then you can put in the last bit of chicken from your saucy chicken pasta thing, and then you add in a little bit of the little salad, and then you've got yourself a banging little chicken salad-y roll thing. And the guy next to you's going, I'm gonna fucking do that too. And he did, and it was nice. But yeah, that's the flights. And tell you what, I'm not going to do the full trip in this detail. I'm going to break this up into daily updates. So yeah, this one's just going to be the first day. And yeah, what I did as well on the journey, I started having little looks out of the window, and I had my, you know, that window seat playlist that I made on Spotify. I'll share that again, give that a listen, because it's banging when you're looking out the window, all the clouds and that. But this time I was looking out the window and it was just the green nothingness, you know, that famous Mongolian nothingness. And fun fact, actually, if you spread the population of Mongolia evenly across the country, there'd only be about 6 people for every square mile. And for reference, if you did that same thing in the UK, there'd be more than 1,000 people per square mile. So it's a very, very, very empty place. And in the whole country, there's only 3.5 million people. So picture that in just all that massive space. And yeah, most of that population as well is in the main city where I'm now. Ulaanbaatar, baby. So yeah, that whole land share space thing is probably, well, if you take away the city, then it's mad empty out there, and it's fucking beautiful. So I landed, got through the customs and stuff, which, what a grimy little building, by the way. It kind of looked like an office from the early 2000s, like a David Brent office. So the line for the customs guy, you're there and it feels like you're queuing up to do some fucking photocopying or something. Yeah, all the Mongolian authorities listening, please let me out of the country. But yeah, no, your airport was a bit boring. But it doesn't need to thrill you, does it? So whatever, that was done. And got through the immigration. And of course the stamp is cool, as expected. And then, yeah, it was admin time. I needed to get the money and have a shit and sort my phone stuff. You know the drill when you first arrive. And first stop, ATM, and that was easy enough. And I'd done all the conversions and stuff already, so I knew how much I wanted, sort of thing. But then the child in me was like, oh shit, if I just get a little bit more, then I can have a million of the currency. So yeah, I got out a million, and then I just went and counted it while sitting on the toilet. It was all in 20,000 bills, which was nice. And I was sitting on a fancy Japanese style toilet as well. So the bog standard in Mongolia is fucking high, and I was loving life. So yeah, I'll share a picture of that money as well, and then I'll put that on Instagram. So for me and you, you'll know that that picture was taken, you know, mid toilet. So there you go, there's a bit of behind the scenes for you. Not that the picture's going to be so much of a riddle anyway, but there you go. So I finished in the toilet and then walked back out, and there was a lad there, and he was fucking massive, this big chap, and he asked me if I needed a car, I needed a lift or whatever. And from his tone and the way he was standing and everything, I was just thinking like, yeah, this is the guy, sort of thing. You know when they ask but they're not like pushy or whatever. And yeah, so I was thinking, right, if he says anything close to the number that I've seen online, then I'm going to get this guy's cab. So I was like, yeah, how much? And he's like, yeah, 100,000. It's like, fucking perfect. That's exactly the middle. I think the search said it's going to be between 80 and 120. And they were fucking exactly right. So I was like, hell yeah, man, let's go. And I just figured I'd sort out all the phone chips and all that shit later, because, yeah, this guy was fucking brilliant. So we got out of the terminal, and already he's smoking, and we're walking to his car, and he's like just chatting to everyone, and like this guy's the fucking, he's the don of the airport, sort of thing. And walked to his car, and then he pops the boot, and he's got an industrial sized box of cans of coffee, and he's just pointing, he goes, take like this. I'm like, yes. And I had one, and then yeah, it was a 90-minute drive, all for 100,000 Mongolian euros or whatever, and yeah, which works out as about £20. It's 90 minutes for 20 quid, cannot go wrong. And start of the journey, I was like, oh yeah, what's your name, man? And he's like, Boira, like really, really proud. And yeah, he was magic. And I was thinking, if all of the Mongolians are like this, I'm gonna fucking love it, kind of thing. And yeah, he was driving, playing his tunes, and then Break Your Neck comes on. You know that one, you know, very recognisably Busta Rhymes. And he goes, Mongolian hip hop. And I wasn't going to be the fucking guy that was going to go like, yeah, you do know this is Busta Rhymes and he's not speaking Mongolian or whatever. He's from New York. But I just gave it nice. You know, I'm trying to get to know the guy. And then I was happy that I didn't chirp up with my pedantry or whatever, because the next songs that played were all Mongolian hip hop. And of course he was just asking, he was getting the okay from me, which was fucking nice. But anyway, yeah, lovely lad. And he was rapping along and leaning into the hooks, like doing all the different voices and that. And that trip just shot by. But the trip itself as well is fucking nice. It's one big open road, and then beyond that you've got hills and mountains, you know, all treeless, seemingly endless green hills, and Yeah, and then we saw a few little gear villages, and and then we're in the outskirts of the city, and it all looked a bit like Call of Duty, you know, those old Soviet buildings that have the writings on the top, you know, this place is a ghost town or whatever. And yeah, and then we got to the hotel, and it couldn't have been better. And yeah, he even jumped out and took my bag up to the little, there's a little staircase bit. And I'll tell you why I've built him up so much, because heartbreak, lads. So he was saying, oh yeah, do you need a lift back to the airport? And like, when was I flying back and stuff? And I was like, yeah, why the hell not? That was cheap, that was good fun. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. So he gives me his phone, and he said to add myself on Facebook with his phone. It's a weird sentence. But yeah, I added myself and then gave him his phone back and said, yeah, I'll message you about the details and that. And then checked in, got up to my room, got the Wi-Fi, first bit of internet, and checked Facebook, and there was no new request. So I think I've fucked it. And then, yeah, there's only two scenarios. So it's either I didn't add myself properly, or it glitched or something, or he's changed his mind and he just deleted the request. But either way, gutting. Yeah, fucking hell. We could put out a campaign finding for my journey back, but I'll have to find something else. But yeah, that was the journey. Good fun. The whole day messing about. And even though I'd been on planes all day and, you know, doing all that, Mongolia is still, it's still on the same time zone as Taiwan. But the difference is, you know, even though it was about 7 when I got here, it was still daylight. And Taiwan is pretty much 6 a.m. sunrise, 6 p.m. sunset, because it's on the equator. But Mongolia, you've got the same time zone, but it's still light here till about 9, which is nice. So yeah, I went out on that evening for a bit of an explore, and I was thinking where to go. I don't want to go too far. So I saw there's a little park on the map. I thought I'd have a little wander. And yeah, it turns out that the park was actually a theme park. And yeah, I decided to go up in this Ferris wheel for sunset. I thought that'd be fucking brilliant. You know, get a nice view of stuff and say hello to the city. And it was a little bit cloudy and whatnot, but I thought, why not? And so I walked over there and then bought my ticket and stuff. And yeah, skip forward a bit. Now the sun's setting, and yeah, the sky wasn't great, but I thought I'd still go for it. You know, I bought my ticket for this Ferris wheel and stuff. And then I got a bit closer and fucking hell, this thing was terrifying. It was creaking metal, and I put together spit and sawdust sort of thing. But I saw people getting out and they were looking happy enough. So yeah, I was like, all right, I'm here now. Let's do it. And yeah, why the hell not? I'll tell you why not. Because there was a thunderstorm. And yeah, I was all the way up at the top. And it's fucking lightning. And yeah, when I was lower down, I was looking at the horizon. And nothing. And then only a few minutes later, I think it was what, like 10 odd minutes to the top. I don't know the timings. But by the time I was up there, it was full storm. Like, you know, swimming through it. It was fucking biblical. But yeah, I was there in this sketchy little metal cage with, yeah, it had no windows in, just a sort of metal grill thing on each side and the rain driving in. And I was thinking, why the fuck have I done this to myself, sort of thing? And where's that little jacket? That was back at the hotel. But yeah, loved it. And I was soaked through, like fucking drenched. Walked back and then had a nice hot shower and bed. And yeah, with that cheer and a fanfare from the Mongolians, I am going to call it that. Where are they? Hanging out the window now. Hanging out down the street. Something, yeah. Oh, can't remember that. The rest of that I did last week. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to call it there because that is the end of day one, and my throat's hurting, feeling a little bit ill. So, yeah, I'm going to cut this one off there, and then let's have a quick break. Okay, breakout time, guys. It's time to go for shit. Do whatever you need to do, and then, yeah, when you're back, let's reconvene at the next Tidbits pod, shall we say, in the next 5 minutes, is that okay? Yeah, is that good for you? Great. Well, you know, in the meantime, please subscribe to the Patreon. There's a setting on there or a tier you can choose. It's called the break-even tier, and that one's helping Tidbits Pod, get back to zero, which is the ultimate goal. But yeah, and in that tier, there's extras and bits as well, which I'm still figuring out. So at the moment, it is a massive act of kindness that I'm asking of you. But yeah, sign up to that option. Or you can just do the one that's £1 a month and get your name shouted out, or I don't know what people want. Tell me what you want. Sign up and tell me what you want, and I will try and do it. I'm very flag in the wind. I'm very, very happy to mess about. But yeah, it's all fun, isn't it? it does feel nice to be included in something. So let's be included in the Tidbits Pod extended family, alongside the already subscribed people who, yeah, I will thank again. I'm eternally appreciative. Thank you very much, guys. Go and do that now. You can go and subscribe to the Patreon, and I'm going to get myself like a little sachet or something and sort this nose out. Maybe have a little Mongolian lem sip and see if it keeps me awake until Tuesday. But yeah, thanks again, guys. I will see you all shortly in the next one. Don't know when I'll record it, but yeah, all the best, and see you later. What's your name, man?
Baira.
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 Yes.
Nice, I'm Jack.